So, as you can tell, I'm not Celeste. My name is Daniela Monterrubio, and I'll be presenting about a community-based partnership that we did in Houston, Texas, collaborating to promote workers' rights and occupational health. And I was fortunate enough to be a part of this project during the last semester of my studies at the UT School of Public Health, and in collaboration with the Houston Interfaith Worker Justice Center, and mainly Alejandro Zuniga and Laura Perez Boston. So learning objectives for today to articulate one occupational health and safety goal of a worker center and community health clinic collaboration, describe an outcome of one of the pilot collaborations, and list two obstacles encountered in developing a relationship with a community health clinic. Just so to give you a little bit of background, the idea was that we wanted to explore whether or not community health centers that are already serving vulnerable low-wage worker populations would be interested in collaborating with our worker center, who we serve the same population, with the ultimate goal of having these community health centers as allies for our initiatives and for workers' rights. So, the Worker Center, actually, we just changed our name. It was the Houston Interfaith Worker Justice Center, just recently changed to the Fe y Justicia Justice Center. It's a safe space for low-wage workers to learn about their rights in the workplace and to be able to organize to improve working conditions on the job. And unfortunately, and as you've probably experienced, some of the most pressing problems are wage theft, exposure to health and safety hazards. Obviously, this has a profound effect on worker health. So that's kind of a little bit of the background on the worker center. And then the service model, the benevolent nature of community health centers kind of suggests that they would be enthusiastic partners since they're committed to serve the same population that we are. So we've got the worker center. Our goal is to help workers. We're run by workers for workers. And we want to diversify our base and our allies. And then we've got the community health centers who are witnessing, whether they know it or not, are witnessing the repercussions of infringement on workers' rights. And so it just really seemed like a no-brainer for a collaboration. So that's kind of what we wanted to explore. And so a little bit of information on our methods, on what we did. The first thing we did was we thought, well, let's assess what the workers' use of federally qualified health centers already is. So let's do a survey, let's talk to some people, let's conduct some focus groups, let's talk to them. And basically what we found out was there's no knowledge of federally qualified health center clinics, at least not in this worker center. We handed out 37 surveys. Of all of those, only 6 indicated that they had visited a clinic recently, and it was, you know, most, I guess I would call it a doc-in-a-box type of a clinic. No idea that there were federally qualified health centers available, that there was sliding fee scales. You know, they just really had no knowledge of it. Another reason that we had even started the survey was, well, if there's already workers going to certain community health centers, let's start and target those community health centers and say, hey, our workers are already going to your clinics. You know, a relationship would make sense. But that kind of got thrown out when we realized nobody knew about them. So then we just kind of went down the list of federally qualified health centers. I followed up with some leads from the UT School of Public Health with some health centers that had already had a relationship with the School of Public Health, and so coming at it from a student perspective of, hey, will you help me with this project, which seemed to be a good idea. We contacted members of the Harris County Healthcare Alliance, which initially sounded favorable, but eventually none of them really followed through with any kind of relationship. But just to point out on this map, Houston is huge, fourth largest city in the U.S., and a lot of the workers don't have cars. So the little red A in the center, that's where our worker center is, and then the little triangles are actually clinics we were able to contact and set up some kind of relationship with. So we really did a good job of kind of spreading out and getting to those areas, the low-income Spanish first language areas. So we actually did get to spread out quite a bit. So pictured on the map are our legacy clinics, El Centro del Corazón, Spring Branch Community Health Center. All of those have multiple locations, as well as Hope Clinic and San Jose Clinic. So, like I said, really spread out. And our champion collaborator was Spring Branch Community Health Center. And just to point out, it's the number 2 and number 4 in the northwest corner of Houston. So it serves over 20,000 patients in between its two locations. The location was really ideal. A lot of our workers live in the Spring Branch area. It's largely minority, low-income, dominated by Latinos with Spanish as their first language. Most of them are at or below 200% of the federal poverty level. The target population suffers disproportionately from obesity, diabetes, asthma, high rates of unintentional injuries, teen pregnancy, kind of unfortunately the common stuff you see. And then within Spring Branch, there are 22 medical providers, 88 specialists, and none, except for Spring Branch, offer healthcare services to the poor on a sliding fee scale. So that was kind of staggering that they were surrounded by clinicians, but only Spring Branch really catered to that population. So clearly this overlapping target population proved that this would be a good relationship. And mainly our collaboration consisted of holding monthly trainings. So basically how the Worker Center operates is if you have a workers' rights issue, mostly it's wage theft, but there's also some harassment cases, you have to attend an orientation before any of our workers take your case and kind of try to guide you through the process. And so this training that was actually made possible through a Susan Harwood grant, it covered different aspects of safety and health on the job, and it served as the orientation, it served as the charla, we call it, to get their foot in the door to be able to present a case forward. So the training covered topics like working safely in the heat, preventing heat-related illness, working safely around electricity, fall protection, and then we would end with a workers' rights kind of overview, and we would end with a little skit. So that's the pictures that you see. We would have the workers play out a skit of an on-the-job issue and how they would handle it. And I just have to say that they were the best horrible bosses you could imagine. I mean, they knew their stuff. They knew how to really get under the other person's skin. And you know, we laughed and everything, but really it was indicative of the kind of things that they had lived through, and it really gave them an opportunity to kind of model how they would negotiate or how they would react in a situation such as that. So this was actually one of our less attended trainings. There were, you know, some trainings, there were standing room only. So it was really, really an awesome way to get into that area of town because, like I said, Houston is so big. We have horrible public transit. So, you know, if you wanted to get to a training at the Worker Center, you had to find a ride if you didn't already have a car. And so having this location to do a training in the Spring Branch area really was beneficial to the workers that lived in the area, but also to the clinic. So we would start out showing a short clip of the clinic services, move on with the training, and then at the end of the training, the Houston Interfaith workers would intake the cases. And it was crazy. One of the women that I was intaking her case, she was like, oh, you know, I've had this foot problem, but I just don't know where to go. I don't know where a clinic is. And I'm like, well, here you go. It's down the street from where you live. So it really kind of proved to be a good relationship that worked out. So this mutually beneficial relationship brought workers to the clinic to talk about workplace issues, learn about workplace health. They were introduced to the clinic, to the services. So for the clinic, we're getting their name out. We're bringing people to the clinic. It's meeting the clinic's goals of providing affordable health care to the community. At the same time, was allowing us to use a good meeting space in a different area and outreach to those workers. It grew our base, gave us a stronger voice, gave us more collaborators. And also, it was just a really good way. The people in the picture, the gentleman there is the chief development officer, and it was really awesome to kind of open his eyes to some of these issues, which, like I mentioned before, they were seeing some of the after effects unknowingly of low wage worker issues. And Gabby Foytek, she's the one standing by me, she was a School of Public Health student as well, and she was doing a practicum in the clinic, and that's actually how we were able to keep it sustainable, is because we kind of hooked up, you know, shared ideas, and she was able to push the idea up through the chain, and she actually ended up getting hired full-time after graduation, so she's kind of keeping the ball rolling, making sure we're still offering the trainings, and so that proved to be a really beneficial relationship to kind of go through the School of Public Health, take advantage of, you know, students like ourselves that had to be doing a practicum anyway, and so that proved to be really, really awesome. The other thing we've done with Spring Branch and also El Centro del Corazón is participate in their health fairs. So they have health fairs every couple months where they offer screenings, diabetes, blood pressure, immunizations for children, etc. And so it really was great for us. They would let us have a table there, and so we were kind of getting the voice out about, hey, the worker center's here to help. But at the same time, we would tell our workers about the fair, and it's like, hey, go get your child immunized, go get screened. So it really proved to be a great idea. And then for Legacy and Hope Clinic, we weren't as successful building a relationship there, but we were able to do some outreach in their waiting areas and at least, you know, have brochures there, and they at least now know about us. So that was definitely a good thing. Limitations and challenges. Gaining momentum was very hard, and maybe it's because I was a student, and this was the first type of thing that I ever did where it was trying to form collaborations, and I had no idea how difficult it would be to just track the right person down. You know, canceled meetings, or you'd follow a lead with one staff person, and I'd, you know, get all excited, like they'd promise me all these things, like, oh yeah, of course, we'll help you out, we'll do this, this, and this, and I'm like, woohoo, all right. And then come to find out it was the wrong person. You know, they actually didn't have any say-so in what was going on in the clinic, and it was starting from scratch. So gaining momentum took way longer than I thought it would, chasing down the right person. Again, this was a novel collaboration, so we would start talking to them, and some people would be like, you want to come and organize our clinic workers? I'm like, no. We're trying to help your population, you know, so it was just trying to explain, you know, what the relationship could look like. We didn't really have anything like, oh, well, in New York they're doing this, or in LA they're doing this. It was like, we're just trying to start this from scratch. So that was kind of, getting the idea introduced was a little challenging. Once it clicked, it was like, okay, we can help you. But then the problem, the limitation was staff and resources, because it was like, well, I don't have time to, you know, be following up with you and be like, you know, telling you about our events or whatever. So it was kind of like we would be at a standstill, like, okay, well, we want to offer trainings at your clinic, but, you know, they're like, well, we don't have time to accommodate you. Or eventually what it became was we're victims of our own success, because we would have these trainings, and like at Spring Branch, they were really successful, a lot of people, but then we had such limited volunteers to intake cases that the cases would just kind of pile up, and workers would have to wait, you know, a month before they even got called back with information about their case, just because we had so many cases and so few volunteers. So I would say huge limitation and challenge of staff and resources, as is the case with most of these types of collaborations and projects. I will say that that the relationship with the school public health seemed to be a help, just because, like I mentioned, you can rely on students that already have to do practicums, and if you have a school public health in your city that already has a good relationship with a federally qualified health center, it seems like it makes a little bit more sense, and they're kind of already used to people asking them to do weird things that they hadn't done before for the sake of research. And so so that seemed to kind of be a good segue into building a relationship. So in conclusion, it does work. These relationships can be developed, but making it happen really requires individuals in both organizations to take leadership. I'll definitely say, if it wasn't for Gabby at the Spring Branch Community Health Center, it would have been really difficult for us to single-handedly like keep this going. So, you know, really requires that both organizations have leadership and willpower to get this pushed through. But with the proper leadership and support, I would think that it would not be difficult to get further research projects accomplished or other more novel ideas. I know that there's a lot that can be done, and right now what we've done, like I said, is those worker health trainings, which have been great, and also attendance at health fairs. But there's really a limitless amount of opportunities with collaboration with these centers. And obviously the long-term goal is to be able to call up the clinics and say, hey, you know, we're starting this wage theft campaign. Can you please call council person such and such? Can you please, you know, get the word out on your end? So that's our ultimate goal. We're getting there. But like I said, it requires leadership on both sides. But Just really want to acknowledge Dr. Celeste. I know she's not here. Our thoughts are with her. Learned a lot from her. And all of the workers and staff volunteer at the Fe Justicia Justice Center, the Spring Branch Community Health Center, the faculty at the School of Public Health that I bugged incessantly to help me and point me in the right direction, and also the other health center staff like at El Centro and Legacy. And that is all I have. Thank you so much. Sure. Did anybody have any questions, since we seem to have a little bit of time? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Sure. No, that's a great question. So that was one of our... Oh, the question was, are we doing any kind of training in terms of the clinicians and getting them educated on the issues? And it's a great question, and we did want to do that. And what we ended up doing was I had several focus groups with different types of workers. Especially in Houston, there's a lot of restaurant workers, so I had a focus group with restaurant workers, came up with this newsletter, and I tried to make it academic enough for a clinician, but not like pages and pages of information that they would look at and throw away. So we tried to go through it via a newsletter route, because when we explored the idea of, hey, can we hold a training for your clinicians, it was like, absolutely not, we don't have time for that. So unfortunately, we didn't hold any formal trainings, and I don't think that the newsletters I did really did much. Which is really unfortunate because I thought they were great. but really it had a lot of worker stories on there because it's putting a face to the statistics, of course. And so that's what we tried to do. And unfortunately, I don't think the newsletters got anywhere. The administrators saw them and were like, oh, this is great. We'll be sure to hand them out. But then I would follow up and it's like, oh, yes, the newsletters. So I don't think it really got anywhere. Maybe in the future, if we have more collaborations and it kind of we become like one of their go-to collaborators, it will become more common sense and they'll want to learn more. But unfortunately, we weren't able to make much progress with that. It's a good question, though. Yes. That's a good question. The question was, how did we recruit the workers for the clinics? And it was different ways. The ones where there were standing room only, that would happen because either that week or the previous week, there would be we have a pretty good relationship with the Spanish language news station, and every now and then they'll highlight a news worker story. And so right after that story, it's like, hey, if you have an issue, call this number. And so the weeks where we would have just tons of people would be because that week or the week before, there was a story on the news. And so they would hear about it through that. But it's really word of mouth. People call the worker center, and then at the worker center, we would say, where do you live? And if it was anywhere near Spring Branch, we would say, go to this one. And if otherwise, we would just tell them to go to the orientation at the worker center. We tried to do the Spring Branch Community Health Center is located right near a huge flea market, so we tried to do some outreach at the flea market. I don't think many people came because of that outreach, and then I also don't think too many people came because of outreach from the clinic itself. It was mostly the worker center that was bringing the workers to the training. Yeah. Any other questions? Yes. No, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And the question again was about recruitment, and we did also do a little bit of waiting room recruitment, where we would go in and speak to people in waiting rooms of the clinics. That didn't really provide as useful as we thought it would be. And I guess at the beginning of the project, like when Celeste first explained like the idea and like what we're going to try to do, I had these illusions of like, oh, we're going to like organize the workers, and there's going to be like a health wellness group, and they're going to be interested about learning about diabetes or whatever. But when you're not getting paid, the last thing on your mind is, am I going to get diabetes? So, you know, unfortunately, the best way we could recruit was through these news broadcasts. And also, I went on the radio a couple of times and talked about the worker center. And that's kind of how we got the word out is, you know, you have a wage theft issue, then come to us. And then once we get them there, it's like, okay, let's try to cultivate the worker leaders and go at it from that angle. Yeah. Well, thank you so much.